what a blessing. And, you know, I'm just struck by the back windows there. We got, you know, 15, 16, 18, 19, what, Jake. It's fantastic, Jake. I love it you're back there with those guys. Well, it's a great time. Today I'm finishing our series that we've been doing for the last 12 weeks on foundations, foundational values that we hold as a church, and cover lots of different things. And thing about foundations is they aren't flashy. You know, no one ever came into my house and said, "Oh, I just love your foundation. It's so nice." Right? Right? It is a good foundation. You got to have a good foundation. So we've been talking about a lot of different things, foundations, for the last 12 weeks. And today I'm going to talk about the most important one. And we didn't plan it this way, but they're all important. But this one is really important. I want to talk about Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. And it's almost so cliche. Well, of course Jesus is everything. You know, you're Christians. You know, you're a church. And you just kind of go past it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's get on to the interesting stuff, right? That's foundation. And so as I began to prepare, you know, I started thinking, what can I say? Because a lot of some of you are already starting to check out. Yeah, I know about that, right? Be honest, right? I know about that. Yeah, Jesus, he's not going to tell me anything I knew. And so, you know, I start thinking about the theological foundations. You know, why is Jesus foundational? There's this great verse in Colossians about the supremacy of Christ, and I think we're going to get it up there. Just full of incredible theology. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I just love that richness of the theology there. I remember when I was a new Christian doing a study on Colossians, and you know, you get these commentaries where smart scholars have really opened up the scriptures there, and I'm reading through about, well, what does this really mean, and what's the powers and the powers and thrones and rulers and all that. It's just so rich there. And you know, the thing about he's the head of the body, the church. There's another verse about in Ephesians where Paul talks about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of the church. And so, you know, I'm preparing and I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to talk about? I can talk about the theology and I can talk about, you know, Jesus being the cornerstone of the church. And, you know, theology is important. It's really important. It's crucial. And I want to get my theology correct. But, you know, Jesus is everything isn't just theology or doctrine to me. I was a college student and spending the summer in France, living with a family, doing language study. I was not a Christian, not interested in God, grew up in a traditional church was really boring to me, irrelevant. So I was in France, traveling, kind of going to school a little bit, having a great time, having just a great time. One night I went to the local cathedral, which is not a religious place anymore. And that Friday nights they had organ concerts. Big Gothic cathedral, huge organ, stained glass windows there, and the guy's playing, and I'm standing in the back, and all of a sudden, God came on me. Totally unexpected. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't interested in him. And just, poof, it was like somebody dumped warm water on me. I had no clue, except I loved God. I loved Jesus. No clue about anything. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know. And for the next 2 years, I kind of searched around. I went back. I looked for different churches. That's because of, you know, Christian and all that kind of stuff. It was still boring. Oh, I lost my water because my water is somewhere. And a couple years later, I came to a church such as this, and there were all these people there. And thanks. And they loved Jesus like I love Jesus. But it was different. They were living for Jesus. He made a difference in their life. And in a space of about a month, God just got a hold of my life, totally changed my focus, my interest, what I wanted to do with my life, just totally 180-degree switch. And I've never been the same. Literally, he ruined my life. I was going this... I mean, I had it made, and he ruined my life, that old life. And, you know, we debate about theology. We debate about doctrine. We debate about church strategy or focus. What should we be doing now? We don't debate about our love for Jesus. We don't debate about that. Jesus is everything to us because we love him. We love him. We have an eternal passion for Jesus. And it's not based on theology, but it's based on relationship. And so today, I want to talk really about loving Jesus. We love Jesus. That's, if you want to know, if you're visiting us, if you're here, if you're new, that's what defines us. We love Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And I remember the first time I came to a church like this, I was so struck. It's like, these are normal people. They are, they're strong people. They're gifted. They're talented. And they are standing up and saying, we love Jesus. Which was a totally foreign thing to me. And that's who we are. I hope we're normal. Pretty normal. As normal as you can, but we love Jesus. So I want to talk really, well, what does that mean and what does that kind of look like to me in my words? And I think I speak for all of us here. It means that we yearn for his presence. You know, I could read a book about my wife, if somebody wrote it, and it could have all this great information about her vital statistics, her background, her interests, you know, her family history, all that information, and I could read that all about her. That wouldn't be very satisfying. I don't want to know about her. I want her with me, right? I just want to be with her. I don't care so much, in fact, about all those statistics and all that information. I just want to be with her. And that's the way it is with God. We want to be with him. We want him with us. And that's what's exciting to me when we gather, when we're here, and we the only reason I come is to be in the presence of God. That's why we come, because in Scripture it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Ah, in his presence is life. His presence is just, it's, you know, there's a verse that talks about taste and see, for the Lord is good. It's like, I want to come into his presence, get a taste of God. And when we gather like this, you know, the cool thing is, you know, we get a little taste, even in the best of times, we get this little taste. It's just a taste of what God is really like. One day, can you imagine? I mean, that the best time in God's presence, like, you know, the Holy Spirit, oh, it's so heavy, oh, I can't stand it. That's just a taste. Oh, I can't stand it. You know, in Exodus, Moses is talking to God, and he says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And that's what distinguishes us. God is with us. And if he's not with us, we're in trouble. Because I've said this before, we're just not that good. We're not that fun. We're not that attractive. We're just ordinary people trying to get through the day without God, making the best we can. So, you know, when we say we love Jesus, we're saying we hunger, we yearn for his presence. We want to connect with him. So, you know, I don't come to church. I don't want to just come to a meeting and sing some songs. I've been in a lot of worship times, and you've been in worship times probably. You sing the songs, you go through the motions or whatever, and you never feel like you connect with God. Sometimes the person next to you is obviously connecting. What's wrong with me? And sometimes it's my problem. Sometimes I don't know what it is, but we want to connect with God. Or it's the same thing in quiet times. You know, we talk about having a quiet time. It's simply sitting down and being quiet and connecting with God. It's not enough to just read the Bible or read a booklet or a commentary or something like that. If we don't connect with God, what good is it? It's just information. It's reading that book about my wife instead of connecting. And that's what we want to do. We want to be in his presence. The next thing that loving Jesus Christ, I think, means is that we are ruined for anything else. We're ruined for anything else. Did you ever think about deciding not to follow Jesus? Just not be a Christian anymore? Anybody? Be honest. You know, I'm honest. I've thought about that. And, you know, you ever get disappointed with God? You feel like God's not doing the things that you hoped he did or was going to do or you hoped that he'd do. You get disappointed. Think about, well, people would be mad at me if I just completely, you know, went away. I'll just drift off. The slow exit. You can sleep late on Sunday. Be nice sometimes. Forget church. Church is a pain sometimes, you know? It's a pain in the neck. Sometimes. Right? You know that. You can do anything you want. If you weren't a Christian, just think, you could do anything you want. You could be your own boss. In charge of your own life. None of that stuff in here keeps telling me I should do or be like. And Jesus had some disciples that had this choice too. And In John, he talks about he's preaching. And he preaches some difficult things, some confusing things to them. And he says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. He's going on about that, and they're all confused. And the disciples come back, and they say, oh, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So Jesus gives them some more stuff. He knows they're grumbling, so he gives them more. And then there's this interesting scene between Jesus and Peter. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Really interesting. It's Jesus in the flesh, alive there. How could anybody who's following him suddenly decide, don't want to do it? Some did. But Jesus turns to Peter and says, you don't want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In comparison to Jesus, everything else is drab. It's dull. It's boring. There's just no comparison. We are ruined for anything else. We've tasted life. You know, how could you go back to anything else? The joy that we've tasted, there's no comparison to that. Despite the disappointments, despite the heartaches sometimes, despite the hurts, things like that, there's no comparison. We're ruined. Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What choice have we got? So loving Jesus, I think, means that we're ruined for anything else. Another thing that it means to me is that we enjoy him and his ways. We deeply just enjoy him and his ways. Every Sunday we have this prayer meeting before 9 o'clock, and I feel like I end up praying the same thing. It's just asking God to fill us afresh with joy. You know, I'm kind of the broken, but it's like, you know, it's so fantastic being in his presence. It's like I just enjoy him. I just, it's fantastic. My kids laugh at me. I say fantastic. It's like, you know, there's no comparison. And, you know, there's a lot of great things in life. You know, God has given us so many wonderful things. You just have, you know, this time of year, you look out, everything's turning green, the trees are starting to bloom, and and the allergies, no. You know, we're at the cleanup day yesterday, and we're down there sweeping and pulling stuff out, and I walk down this pathway, and there's this tree in bloom, and you walk underneath it, and it's like, oh, what is that? It's like, wow, it's like heaven. It's fantastic. It doesn't compare to Jesus. It's a little taste, a tiny little taste. If you know me, you know I love skiing. People laugh at me. Like in August, I start looking there's these sites on the internet you can go and you can find out where is it snowing and what's open. You find out when the first place is open. You know, you get the video cams, the webcams. Oh, that's, you know, I just love it. And you know, this winter, Lissy and I, we're coming back from, we'd gone to someplace and over in New York and decided, oh, let's just stop, we'll take a day. We went skiing, and it was one of those days in I think it was late February, early March, and they'd had 48 inches of snow in the last 5 days, and it was 30 degrees and sunny, beautiful blue. The snow is perfect. The trees on this mountain, all these pine trees at the top, just all packed with snow. Just packed with, you know, I just love, I mean, it's part of skiing to me is just getting out there in the wintertime. And, you know, beautiful day, and the views are fantastic. It's just great. And, you know, I was disappointed. It's always disappointing. Because there's nothing like Jesus. All these great things we have in life, so great, they're a disappointment. They are a disappointment. But Jesus never disappoints us. Never disappoints us. You know, there's such a richness there. And, you know, I love following him and being a part of his kingdom. I love his ways. I loved it the other 2 weeks ago when Pete's talking about the upside down kingdom there. He drew those triangles, you remember, where the kingdom of God is totally opposite to the kingdom of this world, where you have to claw your way up to the top and you have to protect yourself. You have to watch your back. And you know, the kingdom of God is not like that. I'm free from having to claw my way up. I'm free from having to live for myself and worry about my own life. And I can lay my life down joyfully and enjoy that. So I just enjoy. I think loving Jesus just means we enjoy him and we enjoy his ways, deeply enjoy it. There's nothing like it. You know, there's another thing, and it's kind of related. All these are kind of related, different ways of saying the same thing. Loving Jesus means that we bask in his abundant life. Jesus said that he came that we might have life more abundantly. Not just stingy old, you know, life that's hanging on by a thread, but abundant life. And you know, if you're not a Christian and you're looking for fulfillment, and everybody's looking for fulfillment, you know, where you end up looking, I mean, where do you end up looking? You end up, I mean, money, power, sex. If you're more altruistic, it's doing good works, feeling good about that. But, you know, life is more than passing pleasures and personal fulfillment. It's more than a quest for my fulfillment. And, you know, when I think about loving Jesus and being a Christian and connecting with Jesus, it's an adventure every day. Life becomes an adventure. It's not just going to the Dover cleanup day and, okay, I'm doing my civic duty and, okay, it's like, just, I mean, all that ordinary, normal, everyday life becomes an adventure. It's like, what is God going to do today? What's going to happen? Your life is God's in control of your life. It's like, oh, it's like this great adventure. Where are you going to go? Where is he going to take me? The ordinary events just become rich. The other day I was driving home. I had to stop the car because I was talking to my mom on my cell phone, and we have a dead spot just before my house, so I'm all the time, I have to pull off to the side of the road instead of just saying bye, Mom. So I pull off, and I'm there. I think it was Friday, and it was a nice day, and the windows are up, and I talk for a while, and then I look out, and there's like 30 black flies swarming around my window. You know, and on the one hand, it's like, oh, I hate black flies. But on the other hand, it's like, I love black flies. You know, it's part of the rich. I mean, we live in New Hampshire, black flies.
Maybe I'm pushing it a little bit.
It's part of the richness of life. We get to complain about black flies.
All right, maybe you can't connect there. My wife thinks they're part of the fall, but
the beauty of spring and black flies come with it, right? I love it all. I love it all. And you know, that abundant life means that we have purpose. Because we have purpose in our lives. It's not just, oh, we're not just getting through, trying to make it through, and you know, we're going to straggle and then die and go be with Jesus. Oh, good. We have purpose in our life. And you know, we get to make eternal investments. Things that we do now, we can do things now that will last forever. Right? It will last forever. Anytime you invest in people, that's going to last forever. And we're part of what God is doing. I mean, and that's one of the great challenges for all of us, is like trying to figure out, okay, God, what are you doing? And throw ourselves into it and be a part of that. It's not like, oh God, I want to do this, please bless it. No, God, what are you doing? I want to align myself with that and be a part of that. And when you do that, there's great purpose, great destiny. Loving Jesus means that we love to obey him. He's our unchallenged Lord. We call him Lord Jesus. And Jesus said in John, he said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, sometimes I feel really guilty about that because I don't always obey. At first, at least. And you feel guilty about it. So I read a verse about that. It's like, oh, gee, I must not love Jesus because I don't obey him all the time. But I don't think Jesus meant that here. It wasn't like this prod, you have to obey. To prove that you love me, you have to obey. Obedience flows from our love. We love him. Of course we obey. Of course we want to obey him. What a joy to obey him. It just flows. And you know, another thing about this, I realize I really have no choice to obey him. I really, when it comes down to it, I don't have a choice. Not that, you know, I'm forced to do anything. I can choose whatever I want. I can choose to obey and live a life full of joy and fulfillment and abundance, or I can choose to disobey and live a life of misery and depression and discouragement and just a wasted life. I have a choice. And in my mind, at various times, I mean, that's very clear. I can choose either one. What kind of choice is that, right? So it's like you have no choice. I can disobey and be miserable, or I can obey and be full of joy. I know I'm thick, but I'm not that thick, right? Jesus always gets his way, eventually, right? He's the ultimate nag. Not in the sense of, you know, but there's this little, when you disobey, there's this little voice there that reminds you, you know, joy or misery? Little voice. And it, you know, the thing is, he doesn't go away if you're disobeying. And sometimes, you know, it's day after week, month. He always has his way because he doesn't give up. And it's not like you have to obey. It's joy or misery, fulfillment or pain. You know, I love to please him. And, You know that verse, well done, good and faithful servant? I just think about that. And, you know, when you do what God wants you to do, like go to the Dover cleanup day, which, to be honest, I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay home and prepare talking about loving Jesus. I have to stay home, and I noticed the irony of that. I figured I better go. You know, came home, well done, good and faithful servant. Ah, I felt great. It was like come home from work. My dog is there. Good dog. Ah, she's so happy to see me. She lays down, gives me her belly. You know, it's like, oh, good dog. I don't take that too far. But, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't that feel great when you feel like God, when you've done what God wants you to do and you feel like God just says, good job, well done. That's great. The last thing about loving Jesus is we trust him completely. When we love him, we trust him completely. We smile at the future, knowing God is with us. You know that verse, that song we did earlier about the good stuff and the bad? Oh, blessings. Every blessing you pour out. You know, in the good times, there's good times, there's bad times. We trust him in the bad times. We're full of hope because Jesus is at work in everything. And this is where theology comes in, this trust part. You know, in this Colossians verse, that's here. We trust him completely, not because we've had this goosebumply feeling once upon a time or even frequently. We trust him because he's the firstborn over all creation. Because by him all things were created. And all things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Even my life, which is out of control at the moment, it holds together because he's there holding it together. And he's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he'll have the supremacy. That's why we trust Jesus, whom we love. We love him. So I think God wants to speak to our hearts, to the real you. There's, you know, there's the real you, and then there's the not real you. The real you loves Jesus. If you're a Christian, the real you loves Jesus. The not so real is the one that's a mixture, double-minded, don't always love Jesus more than everything, sometimes self-centered, disobedient, lazy, fearful, not faith-filled. That's not the real you. That's that other you. The real you loves Jesus. In your heart, as I've been speaking, as I've been talking about these things, you know that's true. You know it's true. That you love Jesus more than anything. Why you gave yourself to your life to Jesus once upon a time. He's your hope. He's your true love. And we want to stir that up. You know, this week you're going to get alone with God sometime. Maybe it's going to be in a quiet time. Maybe it's going to be driving down the road. And I want you just to connect with God. Say, Jesus, I love you. You're everything to me. And there's some people here who aren't Christians yet. But you know, you're here because God brought you here and you wanted to be here. You want exactly what I'm talking about today. When I spoke, something in your heart said, yes, that's what I want. That's the cry of my heart, that abundant life. That joy. It's what you've wanted all your life. And this week, sometime, you need to get alone with God. Just connect with God. Just say, same thing. Jesus, I love you. You're everything to me. Yeah, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I don't know about that. Jesus, you're the one that I need. Where else will I go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, and for all of us, there's this great verse in Colossians, and familiar verse, one of my favorite verses. I want to read it from the Message Bible. And this is Paul talking about all the good stuff in his life. And he was a pretty gifted guy, pretty talented guy. And he says, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. You know, and that's our hearts. And that's who we are as a church. All that other stuff is nothing compared to Christ. Embracing Christ and being embraced by Him. So let's stand up. And the band's going to come up. We're going to sing. I want to sing that song that we did at the end there. And we're going to sing one last song. We've got the Connect cards there. And you know, if God is speaking to you, just put something in those Connect cards about what God is saying to you. If you want to, if you're new, and you can fill those out and put down anything you'd like there. If you've got a prayer request, put that in while we're worshiping. And we're also going to pass the basket. There's you can put your offerings and tithes in there. But let's sing this song again. And I love this song. It talks about I'm yours. You know, let's give ourselves to Jesus afresh. So
yeah.
We're yours. Jesus, we belong to you. You bought us with your blood. Thank you, Lord, for ruining us. Thank you, God. We are ruined. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to end. If you'd like prayer, there'll be some folks over here who'll pray with you about anything. Otherwise, just have a great day. Go out. What a beautiful day. Some black flies out there. You can enjoy them. So, God bless you.